Come with me this morning to Luke chapter 5 and see the willingness of Jesus Christ to make you, whoever you are, whatever background you come from, whatever age you are, to make you whole. And come and see that from this encounter 2,000 years ago that Jesus had with a leper. And be assured that you don't need to be a leper this morning to need the cleansing which Jesus brings. You need that cleansing just as you are. I want you to notice, first of all, this morning, a condition that the leper recognised. I want us to look at this man and his condition. I want to see what it meant for him, what it meant for others. And I want you to notice that he recognised that condition. Very simply, in verse 12, we read that he came along. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. Matthew and Mark tell us that he was a leper, but remember, Luke is a doctor, and he goes one further, and he says, oh no, he wasn't just a leper, he was covered with leprosy. He was in an advanced stage of leprosy. Here is Dr. Luke again telling us something that the others don't tell us. He was a man covered from head to toe, I imagine, with leprosy. And that would have meant three things for him. It would have meant something physically for him. It would have meant something socially for him. It would have meant something spiritually for him. First of all, let's consider what it would have meant for him physically. It meant that he was suffering with what we probably think was a skin or a nervous disease. There would have been lesions and swellings all over his body. The disease which he had, which may or may not have been leprosy as we know it today, nevertheless would probably have anaesthetized the body so that you had no feeling, no sensation to protect you from any self-inflicted pain and destruction. We read of people who had this sort of disease who were able to pick up objects from fires, completely unaware of the heat, and burn themselves in the process, but never yell out because they never felt the pain. We read of such people being able to walk across what we call today splintered glass. One of the leading doctors of leprosy in the last century was a man called Dr. Brand. He tells a story of in a hospital where he was unable one day to get into the store cupboard because the key wouldn't go in the rusty padlock. And one of the children that he was seeking to treat in that hospital came along and said, oh, I'll do that for you, Dr. Brand, and got hold of the key and turned it and turned it and turned it, and eventually clicked the padlock, came open. And Dr. Brand was astonished at the strength of this young child and couldn't work out how they'd managed to turn the key until he looked at the floor underneath the padlock, which was covered in blood. Because the youngster had simply grabbed the key and turned it, and it had gone right through the skin, gnawed away to the bone. But the child had not felt it. One of the things that Dr. Brand gave you to help you if you went to him in his clinic was he gave you a cat to go home with. Now, I'm not a great lover of cats, but if I'd been to Dr. Brand's clinic, I would have liked one. Why did he give his patients a cat to go home with? Because he knew that without a cat, certainly their toes would have been gnawed by mice and rats. And so one of the things that Dr. Brand prescribed the lepers was a cat. You could even read of lepers who lost their eyes because every day they washed in scalding water and were unaware that they were washing in scalding water. It was a horrible physical disability. Eventually your extremities, your fingers, your toes would be lost. Holes would be left where once maybe was your nose or your ears. It was a hugely disfiguring disease. The sight was repulsive to those around you. You smelt like rotting flesh. That's something of what this man would probably have known. He had known what it was to be hideous, known what it was to be grotesque, knowing that he had an incurable disease that would lead to death. Though at times there were unexplained remissions, which is why there's the cleansing spoken of there in Leviticus 14. But that's the fellow who came to Jesus on this day. That's what he endured 24/7, physically. Socially, well, being a leper made you repulsive to others. You were at least unsightly, probably ugly, smelly, contagious. You were totally abandoned by society. You were rejected by your family. The man who came to Jesus on this day was a complete and utter outcast. The rabbis made up their own rules about how far a leper could come close to other people. If the leper was downwind of you, they could come within 6 feet. If they were upwind of you, they weren't allowed within 100 feet of you. That's how excluded you were from the society. You had to cry out, unclean, unclean, to warn other people that you were coming, that they could take evasive action. Stories I've read this week of people running into their homes, and even of rabbis who used to keep a collection of stones to throw at lepers to keep them at bay. That's what it was to be a leper socially. Absolutely rejected, on your own, a complete outcast. Spiritually, you were ceremonially unclean. And anybody who touched you became defiled as well. Leprosy was often regarded as a judgment from God. In the Old Testament, the Lord afflicted Miriam and Gehazi and Uzziah with leprosy in response to their sin. Interesting here, you see, the leper doesn't say, "Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me." He doesn't say that. He doesn't come to Jesus looking for a healing. He says, "Lord, you can make me clean." Notice then, we use that word twice again. Jesus says, "Be clean." And then in verse 14, he says, "Offer the sacrifices Moses commanded for your cleansing." You see, this leper felt his physical disability. He felt his social ostracization. But he felt something more. He felt more than the weight of his physical and social disabilities. He was a man who was separated from the worship of God. He was separated from the covenant community of God. He wasn't welcome in the temple. He needed cleansing and restoration and wholeness that he might draw near to God with others. He was completely cut off and marooned, spiritually unclean. And I want you to notice this. The man recognized his condition. The man recognized and felt his condition from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. He knew, he felt the misery of it, the reality of it. He was numb to pain, but he felt his physical disfigurement and his social abandonment and isolation. He felt his spiritual uncleanness and his distance from God. First thing I want you to consider this morning is this condition. The condition which he recognized. He was a rotten condition, making him repulsive, separating from others, God, and leading to death. Secondly, notice a cleansing that he sought. In verse 12, he came along. And we simply read that when he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground. And he begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Now, notice this. This fella shouldn't have been there. He shouldn't have been there on this day. He should have been isolated. He should have been keeping his distance. He should have been shouting, "Unclean, unclean." But he wasn't. Something this day propelled him to seek cleansing. He came to Jesus. He must have heard something about Jesus. The grapevine must have been working. The story of Jesus' power, the story of Jesus' authority, the story of Jesus' healings must have reached this man's ears. And he knew his own impotence. He knew that nobody else could help him. He couldn't help himself. But he heard of one who he believed could help him. And so nothing was going to keep him from Jesus on that day. He couldn't help himself. Nobody could help him, but he believed that Jesus could. And so in a marvelous moment of abandonment, he defies the law and convention and the code, and he comes to Christ, his only hope. Nothing is going to stop this man coming to Christ because of what he believes that Christ can do for him. And so this disfigured, repulsive, grotesque, abandoned by society, spiritually unclean man comes to Jesus, and he comes in absolute desperation. He comes with reverence, bowing down. He comes with urgency. He begs, he implores Jesus. He comes with humility. He doesn't come demanding. He says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. There's a humility about this man as he approaches Jesus. And he comes in faith. You can make me clean. You can make me clean, Lord, if you're willing. Lord, it's your willingness which stands between me and deliverance. It's your willingness which stands between me and hell. It's your willingness that stands between me and being cleansed and being reconciled. He doesn't doubt the power and ability of Jesus to heal him, but Jesus' previous record doesn't mean that he would heal the leper in the leper's eyes. The leper doesn't presume upon him. He doesn't demand of him. He says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Would he be willing? Would he be willing? He was a man who recognized his condition. But he knew where hope alone was to be found, and so he sought it. A condition he recognized, a cleansing which he sought, thirdly, a cleansing that he found. What a dramatic moment that was. The crowd would probably have been reviling, looking at this man, wondering what on earth Jesus was going to do next. This man had dared to come. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. What's Jesus' response? He reaches out his hand and he touches the leper. Isn't that marvellous? That's our God, isn't it? He reaches out his hand and he touches the leper. He weren't allowed to touch lepers. Leper didn't know what touch was, but Jesus touched him. You see, to touch a leper was to make you ceremonially unclean. As Don Carson quotes, by touching an unclean leper, Jesus will become ceremonially undefiled himself. But at Jesus' touch, nothing remains defiled. Far from being unclean, Jesus makes the unclean clean. He touches him. A sign of his compassion, a confirmation of his care, a physical reassurance, a connection. This leper was going to be admitted into the presence of Jesus. So he touched him. One of the sad stories I read this week was of a man who, I think having lost his wife, then made sure that every week in his diary, he went to the barber's. He went and had a haircut every week. Because he wanted to be touched. He found it reassuring even that the barber touched him. He found human touch such a reassurance and a kind thing. It reminds me of that lady we read of all those years ago. Was she in Geneva and she used to ring up the speaking clock in England every night just to hear somebody be pleasant. This man went to the barber every week because he wanted to know in a pure way human touch. It's Matthew, isn't it, in chapter 8, who talks about Jesus coming down. He came down from the mountain and said, I'm willing. Jesus Christ came down from heaven. And he touches the unclean leper here, the unclean sinner. That's the great condescension of our God. He is not megaphone diplomacy shouting the distance. He comes and he touches the leper. And no sweeter words can this leper ever have heard than Jesus saying, I am willing. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. I am willing. I am willing. Words which describe how the heart of Jesus was turned to this man. Words which describe the kindness of this man Jesus to the leper. Words which must have given this leper enormous hope. I am willing. After which he simply commands, be clean, be clean. Yes, be healed, but more. Be reconciled to the covenant community. Be present at the worship of God. Be present in the temple. Be made whole. Jesus touched him in his condescension and compassion and says, I'm willing. Be clean. And what Jesus commands, he's done. We read here, immediately the leprosy left him. Immediately. Remember what we said before, that miracles are not uniformly distributed throughout the Bible? There are clusters around Moses and Elijah and Elisha and Jesus and the apostles. There's an explosion of miracles around the lifetime of Jesus and just after. We said before that actually no miracles are recorded for the 2,200 years before Abraham. There's 20 between the life of Abraham and Isaiah, none from Isaiah to Christ. But in the New Testament there are 90 texts dealing with Christ's miracles. And here in some ways a typical miracle. He heals with a word or a touch. He heals instantly. He heals totally. There's no progression here or lingering side effects. He healed everybody who came to him without fail. No record of anyone coming to Jesus and he couldn't manage to heal them. He healed organic disease. He reversed decaying processes. He raised the dead. That's the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. And I take it that this man whose skin had thickened and become ulcerated and scaled suddenly became whole. I imagine that twisted and distorted hands, if he had them, were straightened. The feeling returned to the extremities, that he could stand up straight. Because Jesus said, be clean, I'm willing, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. When Jesus speaks, the authority of his words accomplishes what he commands. No disease can withstand his command. A cleansing was sought, a cleansing was found, and then lastly in this section, a command was given. A command was given, verse 14, don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone. We've looked at this before, haven't we, in Luke's Gospel. As before. Sometimes perhaps Jesus said don't tell anyone because he was trying to prevent an outing at this time of his ministry which could lead to trouble with the Roman authorities too early. He certainly told people to be quiet because his time had not yet come, but here specifically, I'm sure it's because he wanted to prevent crowds simply gathering to see the miracle maker. But more importantly, the law on this occasion has to be obeyed. There's a procedure that has to be gone through. There's health clearance that needs to be given by the priest, and as it were, the certificate given. There's the process that I read at length from Leviticus 14 this morning. This man needs to go to the priest and go through the ritual and be declared officially clean, ratified by the current procedure that was relevant in those days. Had to go to the priest for those 8 days of the procedure, the taking of 2 birds, the dying of one, the killing of one, the putting of the blood on the lobe and the thumb and the right toe. That huge procedure that was necessary for somebody who was ceremonially unclean to be declared clean. The procedure which involved sacrifice, the shedding of blood, and the application of blood. A command was given to the leper to go to the priests. Surely that was as a testimony to them, maybe a testimony against them, a sign to them that this was the Messiah. The messianic age was here. The sorts of things that were promised when the Messiah came were now happening. Jesus was doing them. This was the Messiah. And so it was a testimony to them that Jesus is the Christ. So very simply, there's a condition which he recognized, a cleansing which he sought, a cleansing which he found, a command which he was given, and then we read the consequences. The leper clearly didn't obey. Matthew and Mark tell us that. The news spread. Vast crowds come to hear and to be healed. And Luke comments that Jesus often withdrew to pray in lonely places, because that was his priority. To commune with God and to preach the kingdom. And so Jesus prayed. But what this wonderful account tells us is of a wonderful transformation in the life of one man, the leper who was healed. And therefore we come this morning to our conclusion. And I want you this morning to come and see the willingness of Christ Jesus to make you whole. Come and see that from this encounter 2,000 years ago between Jesus and the leper. And let me say again, you don't need to be a leper to be needed the cleansing which Jesus brings. Just as you are, you need that cleansing. Because here in this incident, Jesus' authority over disease is seen, but it's just one snapshot of the power and authority of Jesus, which we'll see next week as he heals a paralytic and tells him his sins are forgiven him. You see, the miracles of Jesus illustrate something of the power of the good news, which is relevant to you this morning, whether you're a leper or not. And it all hinges, you know, in a sense, on this simple thing. There's a condition that you need to recognize. There's a condition that you need to recognize, and it's not leprosy. Leprosy shows to us, presents both a cocktail of actual misery and rejection, but also the picture of the deepest spiritual woe known to mankind. I wonder whether you've seen it already in this picture of the leper. His leprosy tells you and me something this morning of the deepest spiritual sorrow known to mankind. Just take you forward an inch or two. It speaks to us of the actual wretchedness and disfigurement of a condition which isn't leprosy, but is known to us all. That's the picture here presented to us. The actual wretchedness and disfigurement of another condition known to us all, which left alone leads to destruction and the rejection of every member of the human race. It's a universal condition, which means it affects you this morning, and you need to see that. In many ways, that's the starting place. And that condition is sin. Sin. It's a universal condition. It affects me, it affects you. It's the most serious thing to affect the human race. It's the most serious thing to affect you. We're not all lepers here this morning, but we have all sinned. On account of our sin, our rebellion against God, our rejection of God, our declaration of unilateral independence, we are in the most miserable condition of all, cut off from God and under his judgment and wrath. There is nothing more serious about you this morning than that condition. A rebel in your heart against God, cut off from your Maker, and under his wrath and judgment. Unclean. That's the condition you need to see this morning. And if only I or others could make you feel that condition, but we can't. Put you in a paper bag and shake you up and it would work, I would do it, but it doesn't. It's much more serious than that. It's something that God convinces and persuades men, women and young people of, that we are by nature spiritual lepers. Repulsive, loathsome and offensive to a holy God in our rebellion and in our pride. That is true of you this morning if you have not trusted Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. You are still in this repulsive condition. It's the most serious thing about you. You are in a condition that leads to death and to destruction. You will face a just and eternal condemnation from God if this condition is not treated. That's how serious it is. It means that by nature we are twisted and deformed in our desires and in our thoughts. Our life, the way we walk, is crooked and not pleasing to God. The unclean cannot approach Him and live. I'm asking you very personally this morning, have you recognized that this is true of you? You see, people can come to Christ in the hope that He'll heal their past, or restore a relationship, or meet a material need, or deal with an overwhelming problem. But the issue that Christ came to deal with is the issue which is at the root cause of all of those, is the issue of the corruption and the degradation of the heart. And the problem is that in our pride, this fatal condition lurks undetected as we concern ourselves with every important but secondary issue, and not with the issue of being right with God. The leper recognized his condition. You need to recognize yours. Have you seen what your heart is truly like? Have you seen how repulsive sin is and what its consequences are? Have you seen how repulsive your sin is and what its consequences are for you? And from such a condition this morning, would you not be propelled to Christ, recognizing that He alone can make you whole? That's where the good news enters in, isn't it? This man was diseased and disfigured and being destroyed and unclean and separated, and Jesus made him whole. Sin does all of those things to you. Come and see the willingness and the ability of Christ Jesus to make you whole. If only our revulsion at sin was as great as our revulsion to the realities of leprosy. There's a condition to be recognized. Have you seen it? Secondly and thirdly, there's a cleansing to be sought and to be found. And it's to be found in Christ alone. No one or nothing else can take away your sin this morning other than Jesus. Saying your prayers and being religious and trying to be good and trying to put rights and wrongs, that won't take away your sin. There's nothing that you can do or anybody else can do to reconcile you to God and make you whole. But Jesus can bring you peace with God this morning. He can bring you everlasting life and forgiveness. And all of those wonderful things are found only in Him. And a man or a woman who's been awakened to their desperate plight and misery will approach Jesus. They'll come in desperation. This will be the matter of their heart and their lives, to be made whole and to be made right with God. They will come to Jesus reverently in their hearts. They'll bow down before Him, the one they've rejected, the King that they said, I won't have reign over me, in their stubbornness and in their anger and their pride. They'll come to Him in reverence. They'll come to Him in urgency. They won't say, oh, well, this matter can wait till next week. They'll come and implore Him today, here, right where you are in the pew. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me whole. And they'll come not with pride and claiming, they'll come humbly. Lord, if you're willing. And they'll come in faith, recognizing that Jesus only can save them. That's the wonderful good news of the Bible. Jesus' power and ability and willingness to cleanse the unclean, to restore and make whole the spiritually unclean, to save the sinner. That's the good news of Jesus. I haven't got any other good news for you this morning, but I've got this news, and it's the best of news, that Jesus Christ can make you whole once and for all. That's why He came. You doubt His willingness? Well, He left heaven. And He came to this earth to save sinners. He came to the cross, that cruel cross, to shed His precious blood to pay the price of other people's sin. He died that we might be forgiven, as we sometimes sing. Lord, this morning that you'd be cleansed. He can command and declare your cleansing here this morning on the basis of all that he's already done to make you clean. He shed his precious blood. The Old Testament sacrifices were made and then the blood was applied. My friend, the sacrifice has been made. Christ Jesus laid down his life. The blood needs to be applied to your life. As you come in repentance and faith and cast yourself wholly upon him, he's the only one who can make you whole, because he bore the foul weight of wretched sin in his own body on the cross. Such was his love for his people. He could make you whole. You see, on the cross he was treated as a spiritual leper. The Old Testament prophet said about the coming Jesus, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hid their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. He was stricken and smitten by God. He was cut off and forsaken, treated as a spiritual leper there on Calvary's cross, that all who would then look to him might be made whole. He died on the cross that the foul sin of all who believed in him might be taken away, as it was laid upon him, and he was punished for it. Out of love for his people, the Son of God was made sin, made repulsive sin, made grotesque sin, made hideous sin and a curse, in order to save the unrighteous. And my friend, you see his willingness this morning, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done." And you see his willingness, not only his ability, but his willingness there on Calvary's cross, where he died, offering himself in your place to pay the price of sin and make you whole. He can cleanse you this morning from all your sin. Will you not come to him? There's a condition you need to recognize, a cleansing to be sought and to be found, a command to be obeyed, which is repent and believe. And then be baptized, and then be a testimony to others, just as this leper was to the priest, by the way in which you live, by your life and by your lip. Go and show others and tell others that Jesus Christ is Lord. Walk in obedience. A command to be obeyed. But I want to close with those of you who are still spiritually unclean, who are still what many of us once were, but are no longer, because we've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. May God so deal with you here this morning that you recognize the condition you're in, and seek the cleansing that is found alone in Christ, and find it. Because Jesus Christ cleanses every sinner who senses his or her need, and appeals to it in faith as they repent. He will never turn away any who come to him in true repentance and faith. So go to him. You don't need to come out the front this morning. You don't need to stick your hand up. You simply need to go to Christ from your heart this morning and confess your sin and repent of your sin and believe upon him who declares, "Be cleansed. Be cleansed." He can make you whole once and for all.